Hi, I'm Heather Klutz-Young, senior editor of SDM Magazine. I'm here today with Bart Didden, president of USA Central Station Alarm Corp, located in Port Chester, New York. He's also the past president of ESA and the co-creator of this golf outing. Every year, ARIF presents the annual Alarm Industry Research and Educational Foundation Golf Tournament to help kick off ISC West. This year it's going to be held on Tuesday, March 27th at the Revere Golf Club in Las Vegas. It's a great event and really sets a great tone for ISC West. And today Bart's here with me to talk a little bit about the event, especially since he's one of the event's co-creators. So as this is the ninth annual tournament, which is, I suppose, a little hard to believe that it's already been 9 years, I see that as being quite an accomplishment. Can you talk a little bit about how the event was developed and then also maybe what's different about this year's event from last year's event?
Sure, Heather, and thanks for having me this morning. The tournament was established, as you said, 9 years ago when I was leaving office as the ESA president, because I recognized that there was a lot of great work that ARIF, our Research and Education Foundation for the industry, needed to be doing. And it's always been short on funds. It doesn't have a dedicated revenue stream. And we needed something. And it wasn't like it could be an ongoing month after month campaign to raise donations and stuff. You know, it was a one-time each year focused event. And so many of our state associations run golf outings. You know, we said, hey, why don't we do like the granddaddy of all golf outings right before ISC West and get the industry, you know, involved in that. And that's what we did. And in the beginning, we used to use a slogan for the golf outing, golf without guilt. And because you want to get to Vegas, you want to be ready for the show, you get in like Monday night, and if you're a golfer, you always have time for another round of golf, no matter how beat up you are by traveling or what time you arrive the night before. So it's really a, you know, great landscape to put on an industry-wide golf outing. And what's different about this year's event from last year's event, not much really, because, you know, I believe in consistency, and we're not looking to surprise people. We've given them 8 great golf outings that have grown from year to year, and it's predictable. The course is always in great shape and picturesque. I mean, it is just amazing how they grow grass. Now, I'm here in the Northeast. We have pretty good grass. They grow better grass in the desert than we have here in the Northeast. So it's really a spectacular golf course over there at Revere at Anthem. And we're going to have a great time as always.
That's fantastic. Just kind of moving on to another question I had. For anyone who's never really participated in this event before, might be a first-timer this year, is there anything they can expect at the tournament or you want to give them a heads-up about?
Well, I'll tell you what you can expect is camaraderie and an openness amongst all the players that is better than anyone has ever seen at a trade event. Whether it was an industry association meeting or a vendor-sponsored meeting or an ISC. I mean, this really brings so many different people from different backgrounds, about 125, 130 players from every single corner, whether you're looking for an M&A guy or if you're looking to borrow money. If you're looking to meet with a manufacturer, if you're looking for someone who has an alarm company like yours, if you have an alarm company that you can bounce ideas off of, we have a breakfast buffet before the play begins. While the play is underway, you know, everybody, you know, we serve lunch out on the course, and then we come back for a post-play cocktail party, and it is just, you know, out of sight, and so many different people talking about so many different things that it has its own unique energy, and of course, it's all around golf. So, you know, the stories get pretty exaggerated about the longest drives and, you know, incredible putts. And, of course, we have the hole-in-one holes, you know, four of them, and that have some really incredible prize money associated with the hole-in-one. So, you know, there's a lot of fun going on everywhere on the course.
That's really a great event that you just described. In fact, it's funny, I don't even play golf, and you have me wanting to go ahead and sign up and come and hang out and experience it. So,
well, you should really come and play, because I got to tell you, if you see the way I play, I really don't
there
play.
There might be hope for me. That's fantastic.
You know, there is no bar, you know. I mean, it's open to everyone. And also, you know, the club does have golf rentals. I think they're $60 or $65, you know, for the clubs, and you get some balls. And, you know, you get time to go out to the driving range ahead of time to see exactly how bad you can be. but, you know, with a little practice in the beginning, you get out there. And also, we play a scramble. So everybody tees off. And then everybody moves up to the best ball. So you don't have to be Tiger Woods or you know, any of these other great players, you know, to really, you know, get into it. You know, everybody, you know, gets up to the best shot, and then they get to the green, and everybody putts in. And, you know, so you really don't have to be a golfer.
That's also a good reminder. So hey, you never know, I might have to sign up now.
Okay.
Getting serious for just a couple minutes, though, as you mentioned, you know, this event does benefit a great organization for the industry, ARIF. And you had also mentioned before as well that funding is almost solely derived for ARIF from this event. So for all the fun you're talking about having and just this great event, it also really does have this important mission of supporting a very important organization in the industry. So could you talk just a little bit maybe about ARIF's mission this year, what you're working on this year, and what you're focused on for the industry?
Well, the project that we're, you know, getting kicked off, and then I'll go back and circle back to some other projects that we've completed so that your listeners today can get a full understanding of what we're, you know, where we're going, but more importantly, where we've been. Because we've been making a very significant impact in the ability of alarm dealers in here in the country to sell more systems. So one of the projects that we're working on is understanding decisions to burglarize from the offender's perspective. And this study is being conducted by the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. And it seeks to understand the criminology factors, you know, associated with burglary and burglars and their decision-making progress on which residences or commercial buildings they choose to attack. And, you know, if we understand more about who is a target versus who is not a target, it helps us explain to the consumer why they really need to make an investment in a security system. But, you know, let's talk about some of the other projects that we have completed. The impact of home burglar alarm systems on residential burglaries. And this was done by the Rutgers University School of Criminal Justice. And it's a comprehensive study of 5 years of statistics by researchers at Rutgers, which concludes that the residential burglar alarm systems decrease crime, not only where they're installed, but in in the neighborhoods, you know, and for years we've been saying how systems are a deterrent, is a significant portion of the value of a system. But, you know, if there's one in one house, and well, let's say you have a street with 10 homes and six have burglar alarms, well, the burglars are going to go look for other neighborhoods where there is more pickings from the tree than that particular neighborhood. And we've documented that through studies. We've also done an assessment of the calculation and validity of false alarm estimates. You know, we hear communities all around saying how, oh, 99% false alarms. Well, we don't know exactly how true 99% is. Is the percentage high? Yes, it is. But let's take a look at what it really is. And this is another study that we completed, and that was done by the University of North Carolina at Charlotte as well. And it examined different methods for calculating or estimating false security alarms, including concerns with the estimation procedures. So here's another way where we are trying to preserve the business environment for the alarm industry and ESA dealers here in the United States. And all of this data is put together and used in our efforts across the country in connection with SEAC. I mean, they're the delivery vehicle for a lot of these studies, because SEAC is our first responders into these communities that want to go no response or limited response to alarm systems. Yeah, and then also, you know, internally, we commissioned a group to come in and redesign the alarm.org website, which is the ESA website, to make it more end-user acceptable, easy to use, for consumers to find alarm companies, products and services, everything about life safety. Because again, remember, you know, we say research and education, but also we have to maintain the foundation building blocks of why we are the industry's association. We have more members than anybody else. We're the largest association in the country at ESA, and we're here to maintain the business environment of dealers to install systems, whether it's burglary, fire, or, you know, life safety, or cameras, or access, everything that they go to ISC to view new products and talk with vendors. Well, ARIF, along with ESA and our partners at SEAC, all of these are the support organizations that keep the industry going in a forward and positive outlook, and why we don't see exposés from all kinds of news organizations beating up on the industry at large.
Right, and with, you know, that explanation and giving us kind of that look, it just really does reinforce how critical the work that ARIF does is for the industry. Thank you for giving us just a closer look at that.
I can talk about this stuff all day long.
I can tell. It's fantastic. So just to kind of wrap up, you know, I think you've done a great job of getting us all excited for this event. So for people who want to participate, is there any information you want to share about how they can sign up or where they should go just to get more details?
Well, you know, the website that they clicked on to get this podcast, you know, has links, you know, our ISC West, you know, website where, you know, you sign up for seminars or the exhibition floor, you know, and get this podcast, you know, has links to the ARIF, you know, website where you can sign up and register, and or you can just go to the ARIF website yourself, www.airef.org, and website if you want to find out more information about ARIF, and you can, I believe you can pull up some of the studies that we've done in the past, so you can get a better idea of what we are, who we are, and why we're doing.
Right. Like, as you said, there's just a lot of avenues to get to the information about this event, to be able to sign up the ARIF website. And yeah, we put all this information up on www.sdmmag.com as well. And then there's always, obviously, the ISC West route to take as well. So lots of places to be able to sign up. Well, thanks for speaking to me today and sharing just more about this event and its background, and also giving us a look at what ARIF's working on and some of its value to the industry. It should be a great event. Like you mentioned, a little golf without guilt, and we're looking forward to it. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Heather, and I hope to see you out there on the course.
Yeah, we'll see.
All
Talk
right.
to you soon. Thank you.
Bye-bye.